No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. The Winnipeg Jets victorious for a third consecutive game, a hard-fought victory over the Arizona Coyotes. A 3-1 margin is the final score, the third goal being an empty netter late in the third period to ice the victory for the Jets after the Coyotes were applying wave after wave after wave of pressure looking for the equalizer. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Tuesday evening. Hope all is well with both of you.
Yeah, what's up, boys? I think, you know, Drew already tweeted this from the IC account. I mean, that was kind of, aside from, as you mentioned, Drew, the Coyotes push in the third period. It was kind of the definition of low event hockey for the most part.
I mean, yeah, the Jets first played a really particular.
Yeah, that first period was, first off, I don't know if you guys saw Mike McIntyre's picture. Mike McIntyre of the Free Press is covering the road trip, and it looked like there was less than 3,000 fans, which is what I think he was kind of guesstimating. But I mean, just unbelievable, it's, you know, how empty that building was. There was just no atmosphere, and you could really feel it in the first period because, I mean, Phil Kessel had that early chance, right? He had that chance, that breakaway chance or partial breakaway chance, and Hellebuck made a nice little save. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, the Coyotes didn't really have much going on in the first period. And I think, you know, the fans responded with little or no applause. But, I think it was a really, you know, solid win for the Jets. And, you know, even though I think you might have liked an insurance goal or two there in the third period on the power play, they didn't get it, but Pierre-Luc Dubois was really strong. Obviously, he scores the nice goal that doesn't count as a power play goal, but that's as close to a power play goal as you're ever going to score, guys. I think we'll kind of put the asterisk besides that goal. And, you know, obviously, you know, Evgeny Svechnikov, he comes back into the lineup. We weren't sure if it was going to be Svechnikov or Perfetti. He scores a timely goal. So, yeah, it was one of those kind of snoozer games, Dave. But, I mean, the Jets get the win, and you know, the opposite would have been us talking about how the Jets lost a second game of the season to the Coyotes, the worst team in the NHL, right? So I think you're going to take those 2 points and head to the Mile High City.
You're absolutely right, Ezzy. It's not an easy game to play, I think, against the Coyotes. I mean, unless they roll over from the beginning of the game, unless, you know, they just don't show up at all, it's a tough game to play. You mentioned the atmosphere or the absence of any atmosphere. I guess they'll at least get the players used to getting games in an empty arena, if that's what it ends up being back here in Canada after this road trip. But, you know, there's no atmosphere. The Coyotes, you know, we know that they lack in skills, so they just really don't want to give up anything in terms of there's no skating. That first period, you know, there was, you know, I was on the Twitter duty as you know, we mentioned earlier, and there was just nothing to tweet about. I mean, there was just nothing that happened in that first period up until the Svechnikov goal, which was, you know, late in the first period. The Svechnikov goal came at the, you know, the 17:34 mark. So with 2.5 minutes to go in that first period, that was the first sort of noteworthy thing to occur in that period. It was very dull, and it improved from that point on. It got better in the second period, and it certainly got better in the third period. But for a while there, that was a snoozer of a game on a Tuesday night, Dave M.
Yeah, it was, Drew, for sure. And I had the benefit of watching two snoozers because the Moose and Wild game was a bit unusual as well. They Wild lost a couple of their key players up to the Minnesota Wild, so they were playing shorthanded, and so it wasn't necessarily the most high event hockey. Although it actually went to overtime, and the overtime was phenomenal, but it wasn't necessarily the best game. So yeah, I mean, I was watching it on TV. I had the pleasure of seeing Derek Meach call it, get the call up to the NHL.
Did a nice job,
Kevin Sawyer. Yeah, he sounded good. Such a nice guy. He really is such a cool guy. Like, love talking to him at games because he's just like anybody else, really, despite the fact that he has his name engraved on the Stanley Cup. And so good for him to get that call up beside Dennis. I didn't obviously hear a lot of it. I just looked over and saw him beside me in the press box. But, you know, when we got home and I was listening, watching the third with Ez, it was cool to hear him, you know, doing his thing. And he sounded really good. It sounds like a lot of people, from what I'm the sense I'm getting just from reading comments on Twitter and stuff like that, people really liked what he was able to do. So huge kudos to Derek for what he was able to do, getting the call up to the big times.
Yeah, you know, exactly. He did a very nice job on the broadcast, and obviously the TSN broadcast crew was working with some, they were short-staffed, as Dennis mentioned, you know, Sarah and, of course, Kevin Sawyer, and I believe they said the producer was also, are all in COVID protocol, so of course we send them the best and hope that it'll be a short-term absence and not a long-term absence, but certainly nice for Derek to get his opportunity, and you got back behind the mic as well with our buddy Daniel Fink covering the Moose game, which we'll talk about later on in the post-game show broadcast on this Tuesday evening. We say good evening to so many of our familiar faces and so many new faces. Smash the like button. That's what we like you to do. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the show on via podcast. In case you miss any of the broadcasts, they're always available again on the YouTube channel and via podcast. So be sure to get that done. We appreciate the support. Let's get going goal by goal in tonight's game. And we mentioned that the first period between these Jets and the Coyotes was certainly a snoozer of a game. And the Jets open the scoring. It's Evgeny Svechnikov, who's, you know, comes off of the injured list. He missed last game against who'd they play on Sunday? My brain's gone blank.
Vegas,
against Vegas. He missed the game on Vegas, stepped right into the lineup tonight with
David. Did you just forget who the Jets played 2 days ago?
I did. It's been a long 2 days.
Sounds like something I would do, Drew.
It's true. I'm working from home and my kids are at home. You can imagine how successful I've been at on both parenting and working the last couple of days. In any event, not important. The Svechnikov gets back in the lineup with David Gustafsson out with the injury, and Svechnikov makes an immediate impact. Beautiful play by Josh Morrissey to set up the goal. You know, he sort of has a bit of a shot fake as he gets into the Coyotes zone, feeds it across, and Svechnikov makes no mistake, wires it past Vemelka, who was terrific again for Arizona.
He really was, though. Like, you know, I'll get into the goal here. I'll provide you with some of my top-notch analysis, Drew, but I was mentioning to Dave, like, if you're the Coyotes, are you not signing him to, at the very least, a couple years based on what he's done? Like, you know, it's a terrible team. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, we talked about that right off the top of the show, right? They're 6-22-3 or 6-23-3. Like, they're definitely going to be in the Shane Wright sweepstakes here, and everyone knows that. But on that goal, I mean, Christian Vesalainen, I'm not sure if Dave, you might have seen the highlight. Mm-hmm. You definitely didn't see it live because, as we mentioned, you were calling the Moose game. But that play by Vesalainen, he sacrifices his body a little bit. He takes a little bit of body, gets the puck over to Morrissey. So I just wanted to get that in there. That was a nice little, you know, secondary assist for him that got the play going there, and he allowed to keep the play in the offensive zone. But Morrissey, complete no-look pass, just beautiful. And we've seen him do that many times over the years. Kind of an unrated, I think, you know, aspect of his game. Speaking of, you know, Kyle Connor and, you know, Dennis asking, you know, Dave Poulin about Connor being underrated. I agree, by the way. Like, he's not underrated anymore because we've been talking about him being underrated for 3 years now.
I know.
He's so not underrated, tired. But I think, you know, Morrissey in that situation deserves a lot of credit, and, you know, just good on Svechnikov. You know, we've talked about him quite a bit since the season started in October, right? It just seems like he's been found money for the Jets. Obviously not a position that you expect him to be on the fourth line, but same thing goes for Vesalainen. So it was kind of nice for those two Jets, you know, players to get factor in on the scoring. And, you know, that obviously got the ball rolling. It was a, you know, completely one-sided first period for the Jets. Not a lot of high danger chances, but yeah, that was just nice for Svechnikov to get his goal after missing a couple games.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at that goal, and the secondary assist goes to Christian Vesalainen. And so it's a goal scored by first round picks, of course, Svechnikov being the first rounder for the Red Wings, but Vesalainen and Morrissey getting the first round picks for the Jets. So the Jets end the first 20 with that 1-0 lead. And I think just for their psyche, it's probably important to get that goal past Vemelka and to be able to say that you have the lead after 20 minutes. Cause, you know, if you go four straight periods without scoring against this goalie, despite controlling the majority of the play, it perhaps, you know, it could inch its way into your psyche. Like, does this goalie have our number? And that's why I think, you know, in addition to it being good to for the Jets to open the scoring in the game and always that being a positive, in this case, I think it also sort of got a little bit of that monkey and got rid of it earlier in the game rather than later. Because when a team hangs around, like the Coyotes can, and it doesn't matter that they're not very good, when it's a one-goal game, all it takes is one bad break or one bad shot, and all of a sudden it's a tie ball game. We saw how close it came to that later in the third period, when Hellebuck misplayed what was the most routine of wrist shots imaginable, and he fumbled it like I fumble a ball playing third base, you know, not knowing what to do with it, and he was able to, of course, cover it up before it did any damage, but it certainly was a little bit risky there for the Jets, to only have it as a one-goal game for as long as they did, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's whenever you allow a team to just kind of hang around, that's never a good thing, and we saw it in the AHL tonight. We saw it in the NHL with the Jets. They were able to hold on, obviously, but you just can't allow them to because it's one fluke. It's one shot that is the difference between the game, right? And giving a team a little bit of life. We saw, you know, an Arizona team that was trying to claw back into it once they got that, the first goal for them. So, yeah, for sure, Drew, when you don't step on your opponent's neck, it's an opportunity for them to be back in the game. And as you said, that's not lightning analysis. It's not something that's super insightful. But, you know, from a Jets perspective, it's one of those things that they need to really be able to do better, is to be able to take an opponent and finish them when they have that opportunity. Because Arizona, as you've outlined already, both of you have outlined already, are not an upper echelon team. Now, an NHL team can sometimes beat the best and it doesn't really matter. But, you know, at the end of the day, you need to be able to do what the Jets did, which is pick up a win. So what did we talk about before the road trip began on the Saturday show? We talked about how important it was for the Jets to be 2-0 after tonight's game. Well, the Jets are now 2-0 after tonight's game. Are they perfect wins? Absolutely not. Do they have 2 weeks to, quote, practice to get ready to try and get things better? They did. And you know, like I said, it wasn't a perfect example of what they need to do. And they're going to have to be, I've seen some of the comments in the chat already, and they're not, people aren't wrong. You're going to need to be a lot better to beat Colorado. But right now you've put yourself into a position to feel good about the road trip regardless. But the effort on Thursday against Colorado is still going to be very important.
Did you guys, this is sort of off topic, but you mentioned Colorado. Have you guys seen the highlight of the Cale Makar goal from tonight? Mm-hmm. Against Chicago. Oh, Ezzy, you have to look at it. Take it next time Dave or I are rambling on for an extra couple seconds. Find it on Twitter. It's
happening right now. Go, Ezzy, go.
Yeah, it's absolutely breathtaking to the goal that he just scored for the Avalanche tonight. He made Kirby Dach look absolutely ridiculous. I encourage anybody who's listening to us that if they haven't seen the goal, go check it out. It's all over. Basically, anybody who covers hockey in the sort of the general national sense. It's not on our Twitter feed because that would be out of character for us and out of sorts for us, but you can check it out there. Cool. And see the incredible effort and incredible goal and what the Jets are up against when they face Colorado in Denver on Thursday night.
Yeah, McCarr's incredible. We all know that, guys. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised if he has a few Norris trophies by the time his career is over, right? You forget how young he is, right? 21 or 22, like he's only getting better. We know that defensemen, it's the old cliche, they tend to kind of peak into their later 20s as opposed to forwards, right? So that's something, though, that, you know, is important to bring up, you know, in terms of what the Jets are going to face. I mean, the Avalanche have much, much more skill on their team, but on that back end, I mean, you a player like Makar, you always have to be worried about. I think there's some similarities between Makar and Petrangelo. I think, you know, by the time Makar's career is going to be over, he might have quite a few more points. But Petrangelo is arguably a Hall of Fame defenseman. So, the Avalanche are definitely going to be a huge test. But Dave, I agree with what you're saying, right? Like, I mean, you want these points. You got the points. And, you know, they should have got the clean 2 points in Vegas. We all know that with the late goal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're feeling good about yourself. And yeah, even if you do lose against Colorado, is it a successful road trip? I mean, assuming that we're calling this a 3-game road trip, aside from a game against Detroit, which would make it the 4-game road trip, right? But
yeah,
I think that when you're factoring everything in here, I think you're pretty happy with these two results. And I mean, we haven't got into the Coyotes goal, but you know, I was telling Dave, I mean, I didn't have the stopwatch out, but it seemed to me like Logan Stanley was out there for well over a minute on his shift. And that's kind of what led to it. Like, we all know that it was a pretty bad pass. And you could tell right after the Coyotes scored. I mean, Stanley was, you know, kind of looking to the heavens. He wasn't happy with that. And I think, you know, he probably had a little, you know, communique with Connor Hellebuyck there. And Hellebuyck probably told him, you know, don't worry about it. But, you know, like, that's something that, you know, happens every once in a while. I don't think, you know, it means that, you know, Stanley's in danger of being pulled out of the lineup or anything like that. Like, I saw on Twitter, people were kind of getting on him a little bit. Like, it's a human error. And like I said, if you go back and watch, I'm pretty sure he was out there for well over a minute. And I think that's why, you know, there might have been, you know, a bit of the old brain fart that happened on that goal.
Yes, well, then, you know, so that was certainly the 2-1 goal in tonight's game. But let's talk about the goal that made it 2-0 for the Winnipeg Jets. That came at the 14:40 mark of the second period. And as you mentioned, as it wasn't officially a power play goal, as the goal was scored simultaneous with the penalty expiring, Pierre-Luc Dubois, his 15th of the year, assist to Scheifele and Connor. And it's an instance of a big man with a net drive, and he was, you know, he got his own rebound, and he was able to sort of cue ball it over the goal line as the puck was sitting there loose. And that's just what you want to see. I mean, if you look at the Jets, if you call this a power play goal for all intents and purposes, you look at the two power play goals the Jets have scored in the last two games. This one was, you know, puck in the blue paint and he poked it in. And then on Sunday, was it Dubois or was it Kopp? Both of them. It was Dubois again, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Him and Kopp, both. Kopp got it on Sunday. Sorry, my brain, like I said.
No, Dubois was there, though.
Yeah, Kopp and Dubois were both there on Sunday against Vegas. To, you know, again, puck in the blue paint, and you're just, you know, doing the dirty work. And that's what Dave Lowry wants to see. And that's how the Jets are oftentimes, like most teams in this league, are going to be successful. And, you know, so that was the 2-0 goal. And it just, you know, not that everything had been from the outside before that, because it certainly wasn't as bad as the game in Winnipeg between the Jets and the Coyotes in terms of no traffic. But it was, you know, I think Dubois heeded the lesson there in going hard at the net on the power play and shoveling it past Vemelka in order to give the Jets the all-important 2-0 lead after 40 minutes, Dave.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And we talked about it. It's about getting rewarded and feeling confident and being able to, you know, keep moving forward and not holding your sticks too tight, because you're looking at this goalie and thinking, well, we beat him once, but are we ever going to beat him again? Because, and then you get that and he gives you that confidence. And, you know, Dubois, I mean, he was feisty. He was aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that sort of, you know, give a shit attitude, really, in a guy who's willing to get into the other guy's face and not back down. And I think that's what you saw from Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, throughout the course of the game. And they need that. They're going to need Pierre-Luc Dubois to put this team on his back. And he needs to do it, right? I mean, it's I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's basically they both they need it. It's a mutually enjoyable experience for both the team and the player. The player will get rewarded with a big contract.
Gratification, is that the word you're looking for?
Well, something like that is. But and the Jets need Pierre-Luc Dubois to be a driver for this team. We've talked about it for a long time. And that's what he's been consistently throughout the course of this 21-22 season for the Jets. So, and he's continuing it. And that's just only going to be good for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and it's only going to be good for the Winnipeg Jets.
I wanted to say one thing about that goal, Drew, the penalty. Not sure if Dave saw it either, but the Harkins drew that penalty on Lyubushkin, just basically from pure work, hard work. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think should be noted as well, because Harkins kind of had a bit of a quiet game, you know, definitely in terms of the score sheet, as most players did. But one thing I wanted to mention about Dubois, and you know, I agree with Dave, and Dubois has been a driver, and you know, Mike McIntyre threw that out there on Twitter. Like, is he the number one center for the Jets? Obviously, you know, I think most people would say it's a 1A, 1B situation. So we don't want to get people going too much in the chat. But hey, if you want to get going in the chat, go for it. You know, it's a Jets win on a Tuesday night, right? So, I mean, I would say right now that based on the way he's playing, Dubois is better than Scheifele. I would say, again, let me qualify that. Right now, as a snapshot in time, I think Dubois, his game is at a higher level than Scheifele. I'm not saying that Dubois is better than Scheifele as an all-around player. I think I could hear that argument. Dubois has not done enough in his career yet, I think, to earn that necessarily that mantle. But right now, snapshot in time, just based on this year alone, the 21-22 season, I mean, Dubois is at a higher level. I'll just leave it at that. But I wanted to say one thing that I really like about Dubois. Like, we know that he kind of gives the Jets a different look and a different weapon, right? Like, we're used to the Scheifeles and the Ehlers and the Connors, but, you know, his ability to not only be that kind of net front presence, be in front of the net, take away the eyes from the goalie. I mean, he's able to move around and we see those hands. And yes, I mean, that goal should have been stopped by Vrbelka. Like, that kind of, it sneaked between kind of his under his arm and stick, and it was the rebound, right? But I mean, Dubois is the type of player that, you know, it's his skill that creates that shot, right? Vrbelka didn't really expect it. It kind of handcuffed him a little bit, right? So I'm not taking anything away from Dubois, but I just wanted to get that in there that I think, you know, Dubois has really, what is he up to, 6 goals now, 7 goals on the power play? Like, I think that hasn't been talked about enough, even though at times the Jets' power play struggled. I mean, Dubois has been consistent all year long.
Yeah, he's been tremendous for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, he was the big question mark coming into the season, of course, and he's certainly been, you know, where would this team be without the efforts of Pierre-Luc Dubois this year? He's been the most consistent Jets player all season long, I would say, game in and game out. Even his bad games have not been, you know, terrible, or have not been glaring in their weaknesses. So Pierre-Luc Dubois has certainly been everything and then some for the Winnipeg Jets. And I mean, you look at, you know, the Jets had 49 shots in tonight's game. And, you know, I know that last time they played the Coyotes, they also had a huge shot total. But of those 49 shots, many of them were of the high quality variety. You think about right. That power play. I think it was the Kessel penalty, in the third period, where the Jets had something like 8 or 9 shots strictly on that penalty. On that power play opportunity. And, you know, Vrbelka made some great saves. You know, he went post to post off Mark Scheifele on a one timer. And that's usually something that Mark Scheifele is going to score on. It was, you know, he was the only reason that this game was close, that it was a 2-0 game and then a 2-1 game. And, you know, you have to talk about the Goss despair goal, because as you mentioned earlier, as he went discussing it, it was just a poor decision by Logan Stanley. And as you said,
he was trying to hit Harkins. I mean, it wasn't a good pass.
Well, in that time, in that situation, given the tenor of the game, only bad is probably going to happen there. I mean, it's unlikely that pass, if it connects, is really going to spring Harkins for anything terrific. But the high risk nature of it, I don't think had a high reward attached to it either. And that's the problem with that.
It's not like it was a breakaway pass. You're right. I mean, we could talk about it more. I just think, I mean, you can just call it a bad play. He knows it was a mistake. And like I mentioned, I think, you know, part of that was the fact that he was on the ice for a while. And we know what happens, you know, as you get into the kind of, you know, 45 second to a minute is really the longest you want to be out there, unless, you know, the situation dictates it, right? So, yeah, I mean, that one, you know, Logan Stanley is probably not going to want to talk about, but he definitely knows it happens. And I'm sure that he's going to make sure that he's sharper against Colorado. But really, aside from that, I thought the Jets, for the most part, you know, it's cliche and you hear it all the time, but, you know, for the most part, they manage the puck well. And it's funny, Drew, you mentioned the 47 or 48 or 49 shots, whatever it was. Like, to me, that's really the sign of a bad team. When you watch a game and then afterwards you're like, holy, they got 49 shots up against them. Like, it didn't even feel like that, right? Like, even though the Jets got, I think, 20 in the first period. So, I mean, look at the Coyotes could be our punching bag all season long if we want them to be. They're just not very good.
Jets had 18 shots in the second period. The Jets had 21 shots in the third period of tonight's game, Dave. So, I mean, this really was an instance where Vrbelka was the only reason why it was close. And it certainly was a nail biter, you know, late in that third period, as the Coyotes, you know, after they sort of stopped putting themselves into the penalty box, after the offsetting penalties that Dubois and Lyubushkin took, the Coyotes, you know, had a number of minutes of zone time in the last 10 minutes of the game. And the Jets were, to their credit, kept most of it to the outside. and they were able to, you know, mitigate any sort of damage and mitigate any high quality opportunities there. But the, you know, the, for a team that gave up a 2-goal lead in Vegas on Sunday, you know that it was the doubts were probably creeping into the back of their mind as that game, as the final minutes of that game started to tick down.
Yeah. Or they maybe looked at that Arizona lineup and they said, really?
Doesn't matter. You know what? Phil Kessel gets any time and space, even at his at this stage of his career, he can still snipe one. Or Clayton Keller.
No, I'm joking. I mean, I know. The reality is that it was definitely a little bit of a holding their sticks a little tightly. And and look, at the end of the day, like we've talked about, you know, for a long time now, like the Jets needed to be able to lock it down, and you couldn't afford to kind of have a brain fart that allowed Arizona to get back into this game and you know, force overtime. And even if, like, that would be just such a hollow victory, and yeah, you take the 2 points and you would go home or you go to Colorado, but at the end of the day, you don't want that, you know, especially tomorrow, I believe, is a day off, so they're going to have time off tomorrow, and then they're going to just be able to empty the tank, if you will, because they don't have another game a week, right? And they don't play till next, they play one game next week against Detroit, and then they're home for that Ottawa game. It's a Hockey Night in Canada game, which is one of the working theories I heard that why maybe the game's still on, because of course there won't be any fans, I don't think. Well, right, so
The Oilers and the Leafs playing tomorrow night, and so that game hasn't been postponed.
Yeah, they're still playing, even though they don't have it, McDavid or Matthews.
Yeah, no McDavid, no Matthews, and
Matthews, I think, is apparently
now. Matthews, I think, should possible. Be good, Dave.
Yeah, I think Matthews is
definitely possible. No McDavid, though.
Right. Yeah, McDavid testing positive earlier today, and Matthews, I think, had a false positive, but they need another negative test to get him in the roster for tomorrow's game. But
like,
you're right.
Do you think by the time COVID is over, Drew, like, we're all just going to be virologists?
probably. I mean, it's you know, it's for a while there, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on YouTube, but you know, we'll all be like, I'm not a virologist, but I play one on YouTube. But you know, yes, exactly to your point though, Dave, that, you know, you can empty the tank tomorrow against Thursday against Colorado, because you have that full week off. It seems unlikely that a game is going to get scheduled between Thursday and then the following Thursday when they go to Detroit for that one-off road trip game. And so, you know, because it changes the tenor of if you can go in and beat Colorado on Thursday, then that so definitely, you know, changes the tenor of this road trip. You already won 2 games, so that's good. You know, it's already been a successful road trip in that situation, but to get that third win on this road trip, fourth consecutive win overall, it really adds another sort of spring to your step of the, you know, the second, the Winnipeg Jets. What would this would be if this is the 2.0 edition of the 2021-2022 season? I guess the Winnipeg Jets 2.0 2021-22, something like that.
Some numerology.
Let's get Jordan Tutu out here right now with all these twos. No, but I mean, it's amazing. Like, we talked about it on Saturday's show. Like, you know, it's funny. Everyone is kind of, you know, enjoying time with family. Those who, you know, could get together with family, and, you know, there's all these days off, weeks off actually, without any games for the Jets specifically. So you're thinking, okay, you know, this is just a, you know, game 30, game 31. No, not for the Jets, especially with, you know, how December went for them, right? So I think, you know, we're not overblowing these wins here. Like, they need to put together a little streak here. And that's something that the Jets have been very good in their own division, even though they haven't played very many games in their own division. It's just been this weird combination of, you know, all those games against the Pacific in the beginning, and then, you know, some sprinkled in Eastern games with all the Central Division games, right? But I think that, you know, when you consider, you know, what's at stake here, and the way that they've played, like, you could say that this game was a little bit more clean, but, you know, for the most part, I mean, that first period against Vegas was obviously awful. We talked about that quite a bit a couple nights ago, but I think for the most part, you know, you've seen four or five of six periods have been good periods for the Jets. You would say that the Jets won those periods, right? So yeah, the game against Colorado is going to be huge. I mean, it's not going to be season defining if they lose it, but if they win it, it's obviously going to be just a even more successful road trip. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, maybe if David Gustafson is back in the lineup. If he's not, I don't think anybody's expecting, you know, any changes considering, you know, how well things have gone the last couple of games. Connor Hellebuck's going to get the start, so it'll most likely be the exact same lineup. And, you know, we're going to see a couple of the best teams in the Central Division go at it.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, so you talk about the lineup, Ezzy. I mean, I really enjoyed the Jets' fourth line tonight. I thought that the Vesalainen, Toninato, Svechnikov line, you know, was effective. Obviously, you know, Svechnikov got the goal. I thought, you know, most of the time that they were on the ice, they were in the opponent's zone. They were in the Coyote zone, probably like most of the Winnipeg Jets in tonight's contest. But I certainly thought that line was effective and useful for the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. You know, we talked about it. I mean, you know, you have two first round picks on the fourth line. Like, both of those guys have had shots on the third line and the second line. And, you know, I saw Dave M on Twitter mention that, you know, Svechnikov might go up with Connor and Dubois. But, you know, Christian Reichel, to me, also kind of had a quiet, good game again.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't score a goal like he did, you know, the last game. But, I mean, this is a guy that I think adds a nice compliment. And we got to give Dave M tons of credit here. I mean, not only is the Moose insider and the Moose color commentator, I mean, he's a, you know, a good hockey scout as well. So, I mean, Reichel, I mean, you have options maybe that you didn't think you had, right, a couple of weeks ago because of COVID, because of the taxi squad and everything like that. So I think he's a player to watch as well. And, you know, we'll see if Gustafson's coming back. I'm not sure if we've really learned anything new since, you know, prior to the game tonight.
But I wouldn't expect him on Thursday. I mean, I'd be very surprised. I mean, they're not going to practice between now and then. I didn't get any indication that it was that he would be back in the lineup or an option for Thursday's game. So I would expect, as to your point there, Ezzy, that it would be status quo, Dave M, as it relates to the Winnipeg Jets, lineup for Thursday's game against the Avalanche.
Before we go to a break, I know some people in the chat are talking that up. Drew does deserve a lot of credit for that background, because what you see there is multiple. Anybody who follows me on social media knows I'm a diehard River Heights Cardinal as well. But what Drew's got there behind him, and can't tell what the football is there. I'm assuming that's a CFL football. But
that's football. That's a CFL. Here, I can take you quickly through.
I don't think anybody's interested in the tour.
Let's do a Drew Mandel Cribs right now.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's do it on the other end of the break. When we come back, I can explain the redesign behind me.
How long is that going to take so I can show up before 5 minutes late for the?
I'll tell you what. Rangers? It's going to take exactly 12 seconds longer than your Minook Moose Minute is going to take.
I suspect not.
Yeah, I know. We know you are on color for the Moose game today, so stay with us, everyone.
The Mandel Mural Minute.
There you go. The Mandel Mural Minute. I like that, Ezzy. Coming back after the break, the Minook Moose Minute, the Mandel Mural Minute. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute.
Yeah, less than a minute. I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Tuesday evening, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Winnipeg Jets victors tonight 3-1 over the Arizona Coyotes. They extend the winning streak to 3 games. They improve their record on the season now to 16-11-5, which is good for fifth place in the Central Division, inching closer and closer to some of those teams that are ahead of them. But a winning streak is a winning streak, and it was very
important. Can the Predators stop losing, Drew? Like, are the Predators this good?
Well, they're 8-1-1 in the last 10, Ezzy, so I can't say for sure if they're that good or not. But right now they are. Right now they certainly would be, I think, one of the surprise teams in the NHL.
Well, I was just going to say that. Like,
yeah.
Especially given, if you remember early in the season, who were we talking to from Nashville, Drew? And I think you asked them, like, what exactly are they doing in
Justin Bradford, I think, is who I was talking to. Penalty Box Radio in Nashville.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And so I'm just saying, like, it's funny because you're not wrong, though, and I don't think I'm not pointing out because you were the only person who said that. I think most people had their heads scratched going, what exactly is happening in Nashville? And I mean, a lot of people expect them to come back down to earth, but they haven't yet so far.
Exactly. Okay, let's quickly, before we get to the Manuk Moose Minute, the Mandel Mural Minute, because I did do some changes to the background here.
Oh, I didn't even see the hand, Drew.
Well, I'll start over here. Up here, this is a...
I've got that in my room.
That's an NHL pin collection.
How many teams?
3, 6, 9.
Are you going to actually count them?
16, 19, 22. 26 teams, including the Whalers and the Nordiques. I'm almost certain I got that for my bar mitzvah. So that would tell you that it's about certainly over 25 years ago.
Nerd alert.
It's got Hartford. It's got Quebec. It's got the Panthers. It's got the Ducks. But it doesn't yet have the San Jose. No, that was the Sharks. Okay, so it would be a long time ago, but that I think I got for my bar mitzvah. This one, The Last Fight Wear White, that's from the 1.0 era. I think one of the last games ever that the Jets had, or maybe from the Save the Jets rally, something like that. So that one's certainly old as well. This is from the Super Bowl in 2003 that I attended.
What is that, a seat cushion?
That is a seat cushion. That was nice. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Oakland Raiders. The Buccaneers won that Super Bowl handily, so they gave us a seat cushion for attending that game. Here's just a simple Blue Jays, go number one finger sort of thing that I'm sure people have had over the years.
I'm giving you a one finger right now.
I'm sure you are, Dave. Look, listen, there's going to be plenty of time for you to babble on about your moose. Don't worry about it. I get a little bit of me time now, and you're going to sit there and enjoy it quietly.
Drew never talks.
Never. Here's a couple soccer tenants from back in the days when I could run. That doesn't happen very much anymore due to obvious physical conditioning issues.
Let's get to those Cardinal crests.
A lot of River Heights Cardinal stuff. Oh, that's beautiful. Apparently I'm surprised they actually played on the A division team at any point in my career, because
that a boy Drew,
skating wasn't my, I had always had good hands, but skating was never my strong suit. That's from 88 89 89 90 and 90 91 over here. This is, like you said, as a CFL football. My sport was actually tennis, so here's a couple of tennis plaques that I have from back in the day when I actually
won. I didn't know that they gave out ribbons for 11th place.
You'd be amazed what they do in terms of participation medals. But yeah, there's some other banners. And this one's actually pretty cool. This, I don't know if you can see it on the screen. This is a wood carving that my wife got, found a person online, if I'm not mistaken. It's a wood carving of the current arena. So that's sort of a cool gift that she got for me. So I thought I'd throw that up behind me as well. So there you have it. That's I thought I'd take a couple minutes and do some renovations. Well,
I mean, the reality is you're upping your background game, and Dave M and I are a little bit behind here. I mean, we've been a little bit stagnant.
I've got some IC stuff that I'm going to post. I just haven't any time, but I'll get around to it.
Yeah,
it's a little dark over there too.
There you go. It's something you can work on in the meantime there, Mr. M. Take it away, Dave. I apologize. I cut into your time. No. You were on the Moose broadcast, with
late our buddy
Daniel Fink, with Derek Meach getting the call up to the Jets broadcast. So you did the Moose game with Finker this evening. Tell us what happened between the Manitoba Moose and the Iowa Wild.
It was the late call. I've done color before. I actually did it fairly consistently for the Moose over the last couple of years.
No big deal.
Hashtag no big deal. But, and I do enjoy doing it. I mean, it's a little difficult because it's hard to kind of report on the game while I'm watching the game, while I'm trying to provide some color for Daniel when he's doing the broadcast. But I've done it since the Mitch Peacock days. So it's not something that's completely new, but with Derek Meach coming on full time, it allows me just to do what I usually do, which is cover the games for the website and not obviously doing it with them. But it was nice to get the call. And Derek, I didn't realize he was getting the call up to the NHL, which was funny because he and Dennis were two boxes over from where we were positioned in the press box. So I could see Derek and told him good luck, because I mean, it's good for him. It's a good opportunity for him.
And then Derek said, how'd you get in here?
Yeah, he goes, he texted me back. He goes, how'd you get my number? I said, Fink gave it to me. But anyways, so then, the game itself was an unusual one. Mikael Burden not ready to go quite yet. I thought he might be ready. So it was going to be Evan Cormier once again in net for the – I can't, Jeff. I'm not an interior designer. That's not my bag, is to figure out colors on the wall. I let somebody else pick
Jeff, I think it's like an off purple.
Yeah, no, it's brown, I think. But anyways.
Was it?
So
Mikael, dark. I wonder what it would look like if you brightened up the room. It would look a lot bigger. I mean, dark rooms are thing.
This room's plenty big. It's not an issue. That's not the issue. But the point is, Mikael Burden wasn't ready to go for the Manitoba Moose today. So Evan Cormier got the start in net, his second straight start, having signed a PTO with Manitoba coming from Newfoundland. And so he was great in the game on Sunday, made 29 stops on 30 shots, and looked really good in the game. He played another really good game tonight, and when they didn't have Jason Kasdorf, instead they went to the Manitoba Bisons, got another Winnipegger to back up Cormier, because Desolier is not ready to go. He's dealing with an injury. So you had a bit of a goalie cavalcade again with the Manitoba Moose. Iowa, though, they're dealing with some difficulty. They lost the 2019 and 2020 first rounders up to the Minnesota Wild, as I talked about earlier in the show. So they were playing shorthanded. They only had, I think they had 10 forwards and 6 defensemen. It was chaos really tonight for them. And the Moose, like I said, were dealing with some issues, obviously, with losing Mikael Burden. So it started off great, though. The Moose started off, I think they were out shooting him 7-1 to start the game, and scored the first goal. So that we thought they were looking good. Took some penalties. Penalty trouble early. They killed them, but killed the momentum a little bit, allowed Iowa to stay in the game. Iowa eventually took a 2-1 lead. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Moose had a putrid second period. Let me tell you, talking about that second period on the broadcast was not easy. I'm glad Daniel was talking for the majority of it, because I was like, the hell am I going to talk about? This has not been a very interesting game. It has not been a very significant game. The Moose are getting Cody McLeod.
That's always what you want to hear from your color analyst. Well, I have nothing to provide here.
No, I mean, I tried.
Well, I was going to say, this is where Drew's wall really would have come in handy. You could have talked about Drew's wall on the broadcast, right?
I just, you know what I did? I talked about the ruffles, the fact that they had ruffles in the press box tonight. I was quite excited about that during the intermission. So that formed a good few minutes in that second period.
Did you bring Big Daddy some all dressed?
They do have ridges.
They do have ridges, and I did take some. So that was good.
Are they called ridges or ridgies?
Ridges.
I mean, that's part of the ad campaign. Really Ruffles had ridges.
I think there are chips called ridgies, though, like R-I-D-G-I-E-S.
I think they might be. So there might be some knockoff Ruffles that are called ridgies. But I mean,
I'm going to Google that right now.
You do that.
Anyways, the point is that Iowa, we got back in the game, tied it up, and then took the lead 2-1. The second period wasn't good for the Moose, but they started to get a little better towards the end. They had the last four shots.
Sorry, Dave. Old Dutch does have a product called Ridgies.
Ah, interesting.
God help us. Anyways, go on, Dave.
They played a very good third period, and they came out flying, and they scored. They took the first 8 shots. They didn't give up a shot. Johnny Kovacevic, the 2017 third rounder for Winnipeg, he scored a nice pass for Mikey Ezimont. With Ezzy here, I'm going to call him Ezimont.
It's my favorite player.
Tied the game up 2-2, and it looked like the Moose were just going to continue to roll. But Iowa was goaltender, deserves a lot of credit. He made a ton of really high quality saves, as did Evan Cormier. So it was kind of a goalie battle, but went to overtime. Overtime is phenomenal. Both teams had chances to win it, and then in the end, it went to a shootout. Ezzy's least favorite thing in hockey, and the Iowa Wild picked it up. So. Cody McLeod, who is really actually Cody McLeod and
shout Mikey out to Vince Garth.
And Cody McLeod and Mikey Ezimont had a fight. And honestly, I was like, it was like watching a heavyweight fight a lightweight. It was ridiculous. But Ezimont was coming to the defense of Leon Gavanke, who got tuned by McLeod into the boards. Now, I didn't speak to Coach Morrison after the game because I was doing the color with Daniel. So I didn't get any updates in terms of injured players or anything like that. The Moose are supposed to practice tomorrow, and then I think they're traveling on Thursday before they go out on the road for 5 games. So,
Dave, are you going to be on the ice with the Moose tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm taking the skate.
For those who don't know, I'm not sure if you mentioned it there because I was really into the ridgies on Google, but the Moose only had 10 forwards and was it 5 defensemen or 6 defensemen? So they had 16, right?
Who's this?
The Moose?
No, the Moose went 11-7.
Oh.
It was Iowa you're thinking of.
Sorry, Iowa went 10-6, right? Which actually, to be honest with you, nowadays with a hockey team is not that like when you see a team that has like one or two missing players, you're like, okay, yeah, it's kind of the way it is now, right?
Well, that's if you read 32 Thoughts, which just came out, Elliot Friedman's 32 Thoughts, which came out.
They went 11-6, not 10-6.
What I was going to say is Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts column, which came out while the Jets game was on, he basically said it's clear that the NHL's policy is that, you know, if you can field 10-6 or if you can ice 10-6, then you're going to have to play. And that sort of seems, you know, NHL teams that are going through COVID or going through injury are going to have to realize that, you know, you're going to be shorthanded, but 16 is going to get you a game going on regardless, even if it's might be some competitive imbalance there. Now, did Daniel Fink make you wear those antlers as I requested?
He did not.
That's a shame.
He did not. Yeah, I think he was appreciative of the fact that I was jumping in and on the late call. So I think that was, I didn't have to demean myself by throwing the antlers on.
I hope that person, Dave, that is I hope they stay Manuk's antlers. Like, I hope they didn't just change their name just for tonight. Like, I want to see, like, Kenny's water bottle has become a fixture of the Illegal Curve postgame show. So I hope that Manuk's antlers stays Manuk's antlers. And then you can join Kenny's water bottle in the IC postgame show Hall of Fame.
Yes. Good point. Although I know the Jonathan Kozub, who's the amazing photographer for the Moose and the Jets. He was snapping quite a few pictures of me, and I was like, "I'm not wearing antlers, Jonathan. I don't know what's going on right now." But he always manages to get a couple shots of me. So that was.
When's that photo shoot coming out, Dave?
I don't know. Could be soon.
I'm just curious. Why were you on a bearskin rug? That's just weird. Ezzy, tough duck, hardest hitting comment.
Yeah, we've got it. I apologize if this person is one because I know that they are a frequent viewer of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and postgame show. But if not, we'll figure it out. But I like this comment about Pierre-Luc Dubois, Drew. It was from 10:57, so about half an hour ago. Craig Zamzow, awesome last name. You know how much I love the Z in the name. Big goal by PLD. 80% of NHLers take bad angle shots, and then the puck is cleared or froze. PLD drove paint and was rewarded. Might have been the game changer. I agree. That was just a classic PLD. Even though, you know, it was a little bit of a greasy goal. That's the kind of goals that he's been scoring this year. So I like it. I don't know if I like that though.
Yeah, Dave, stop.
Go back to that. No, go back to that, Dave. Go back to that for a second.
Nobody needs that. Nobody needs us that big and that narrow.
I think you really see my double chins there, triple chins. Go back, Dave.
No, you can do it on your own time. In any event, congratulations to Craig. You have won tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment with the comment that's up on the screen. Send Ezra an email, ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, and we'll send out a prize to you courtesy of our good friends at Tough Duck. You can also just slide into Ezzy's DMs on Twitter, @ICEzzyG.
Also, Drew, sorry, I was going to say, Albane Bale, I hadn't heard anything. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Albane, send me an email because I don't think you sent me an email. So ezra@illegalcurve.com, send me your address, send me your thoughts on life, whatever, but also send me your mailing address, and then Tough Duck will hook you up with a toque. Dave's got some laughter going on there on mute. I don't know what's happening over there.
No, but that was a good line, Ezzy. I'm enjoying it. Thoughts on life? That was very fun.
There you go. There's Albane.
You know, I like to pontificate.
It's Craig Zamzo. So, pardon, apologies, Craig. Okay. Craig Zamzo, not Zamzow, Zamzo. Send Ezra an email.
Either way, it's a great name.
Albane, send Ezra an email as well, and we'll hook you up with some good stuff from our friends at Tough Duck. Also want to say a big thank you to our other sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and of course Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey, both the post game show and of course the website. So get that off of there. You guys are nuts. On that note, you guys are having too much fun. I think that's enough fun.
Hold on, Joe from Winnipeg got a question, Drew.
Any updates on Gustafson? The answer is no, Joe. Nothing on Gustafson yet.
That's not the right segue, Drew. If there is an update on David Gustafson,
I wasn't getting there yet. Nothing yet about David Gustafson. If anything occurs and if any news breaks regarding Gustafson, regarding the Winnipeg Jets, regarding the Manitoba Moose, regarding any prospects, it's going to be available on illegalcurve.com.
Including 2021 fifth rounder Dmitry Rishevsky, who just scored his 19th goal for Dynamo. So, I mean, you can get it all on illegalcurve.com, but there's a lot of excitement for this young man.
He's not that young. Tearing it up in the KHL.
He's looked really good for a fifth round pick, an overager that the Jets took a flyer on. They're originally, when Kevin Sheveldayoff was asked about him, there was talk about him coming over to play for the Moose when his KHL season ended this year.
They didn't want a Russian into the NHL.
Nicely done. And on that.
No. But he did sign an extension, so he'll be with Dynamo for at least one more year. But he's a player, if he can continue this for next season, he's definitely going to be a diamond in the rough and quite a good find for the Winnipeg Jets.
There you go, Dave M. with the KHL Jets prospect updates. You never know where we're going to go on this IC post-game show. We'll do it all again on Thursday night following the Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. The Jets step up in weight class to meet an Avalanche team that has looked absolutely dynamic, and it'll be interesting to see how the Jets can respond. We'll see you back here on Thursday night right around 10:45 p.m. Central Time for the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you want to keep the post-game chatter going, Kenny and Rennie are underway, so you can check them out over at their YouTube channel. Of course, as we mentioned, illegalcurve.com will have all of the latest Winnipeg Jets news and post-game reaction from tonight's victory in Arizona. The Jets victorious 3-1 over the Arizona Coyotes. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks for joining us until Thursday night at 10:45. We wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.